All right. Well, where shall we turn? I want to look at the second part of what I call Pattern for Fellowship, and I've titled it Daily Devotion. Notice there isn't an S on that, because it's more than just one meeting in the morning or whenever. But to set the stage for that, I want to just have you listen to a verse. This is from Psalm 63, and this is what the psalmist says. He says, "My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me." My soul followeth hard after thee. A few years ago, I happened to be sitting on a pastor's panel in a fellowship meeting. And a question like was asked me, like, what do you consider the most important thing in a pastor's life? And I immediately answered that I believe that the most important thing in a pastor's life, and can I say in a Christian's life, is to be a God chaser. That's what I called it, a God chaser. And by that I mean that you as a pastor or you as a believer, you would pursue God. You would pursue God above all else. And I have not done that perfectly, but for many years now, that has been my goal in life, to be a God chaser, to pursue God, and not just happy to follow in the tracks of the Lord, but actually to find myself in His presence. You know, there's a difference between getting truth from the Bible when you read it and having God illuminate your heart with truth. And I think it's the difference between truth will take you where God's been, but when God illuminates you, it will take you into God's presence. And that's a very important difference. To be not just where God's been, but to be where God is. And that's the goal. That's the goal of the Christian life, to be where God is, to not just follow in His tracks, not just get on God's trail that leads to Him. Don't be satisfied until you are in His presence. Don't be satisfied with just knowing about God. Make it your goal to really know Him, to know Him intimately. How do you do that? And that's what I want to talk to you about, because I think that this is a very important part of a pattern for fellowship. I don't think that we can have adequate fellowship with one another if we are not together God chasers. If we are not individually pursuing the Lord, as the psalmist says, "My heart followeth hard after thee." He's intent upon his pursuit of God, of coming into the presence of God. Seeking his face is actually seeking his presence. And I contend that this chasing God, it begins with a daily seeking. A daily seeking. And when I talk about a daily seeking of God, I'm referring specifically to a quiet time with the Lord. God has given us a lot of provision, spiritual provision. I mean, you can find it as you read the scripture. God opens up to you the wonderful, abundant provision that we have in the Lord. But as I say here, God's best gift is not what He gives us, but He Himself. God's best gift is Him. And that's the thing that we are to pursue after, is God Himself. And it comes through a daily seeking, which I am calling a quiet time with the Lord. Now, What are the reasons for having a quiet time with the Lord? And then we'll look at some of the requirements for having one. But what are the reasons for having a quiet time with the Lord? Well, first of all, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us that human beings are not meant to live by physical provision alone, that we need spiritual provision. And the spiritual provision that God provides for us, are you with me? I know you've had lunch. Hopefully not a heavy one that's causing your eyelids to just droop. Are you with me?
Yes.
I want you to stay with me this afternoon. Just for a few minutes, I'll be done. And in a half an hour or so from now, hopefully. We need spiritual provision. And that spiritual provision all comes from the Lord. He says this. Man doesn't live by bread only, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We're dependent upon Him. And that's the basic reason for seeking Him. But here are some secondary reasons. First of all, for feeding. For feeding. Peter says, as newborn babes, you should desire the pure, unadulterated milk of God's word. There is, I think, that God has built into every believer a spiritual hunger for Him in His word. Now, you can ignore that, and you can allow other things to distract you from that, but you cannot deny the fact that if you're a believer, God has put in you a hunger for Him, His word. And you can't separate the two, Jesus from His word. There's a hunger there. Yours might not be too strong, but it can get stronger if you'll go with it, if you'll pursue it. But there is a basic hunger for feeding, for the sincere milk of the word, as the scripture says. And then also, I said, for weeding. What do I mean by that? Weeds in your life are things you don't want, right? You don't want weeds in your garden. You don't want spiritual weeds in your heart. And the Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 9, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. That's actually verse 11. Verse 9 says this, how shall a person, a young man, or a person cleanse their way? By taking heed to God's word. And so, we need a quiet time in the Word of God every day, not only to feed our soul, but also to weed out sin in our life. One of the first study Bibles that was given to me when I graduated from high school, not long after, I started to seek God after that. And I remember I wrote in the front of that Bible a saying that I heard that I've never forgotten. This book will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from this book, right? And so we need a quiet time for the weeding process to take place in our life. And you know, Paul says that the Bible that is inspired by God, that is it's God-breathed, it's the God-breathed miracle, that it is good for correction. It does a correcting job in our life. It does that weeding process. And then I said leading. We need a quiet time for leading. It is profitable for instruction in our lives, instruction in righteousness. Again, the psalmist says in the 119th, which is all about the Bible, 119th to 105th verse, he says, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shows me the next step, and it shows me the distant future step as well. And so we need it for leading. You want direction in God in your life. Pursue God in the Word of God, and it'll give you leading. It'll give you the ability to make wise decisions and find real direction in your life. And then fourthly, reasons for seeking the Lord, having a quiet time, is what I call succeeding. I want them to all rhyme, so I just... Succeeding. What do I mean by succeeding? I mean triumphing. I mean being victorious. The Bible is called the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6:17, and it is one of many defensive weapons. I believe all the armor of God in Ephesians 6 is defensive. I think that the Word of God can be used offensively, but I think in Ephesians 6, it's talking about the defensive use of the Word of God. It clashes, the sword of the Spirit clashes with the attack of the wicked one, right? And defends you against him, against his attack. You remember how Jesus wielded that sword of the Spirit when he was up against the devil in the wilderness. It is written, it is written, it is written, right? Each time he met the devil with the scripture as his defensive weapon against even the twisting of the scripture that Satan would do. That's some reasons for a quiet time, for seeking God in your personal life. Let me show you some requirements about this quiet time. Requirements for seeking the Lord. I'm thinking about that wonderful verse given to Israel originally in Jeremiah 29:13, but can I apply it to you and me? He says, God says to Israel, and he would say the same to us, you want to find me? You'll only find me if you seek me with all of your heart. It's like God's implying, I'm not going to waste my time with you if you're not really serious about knowing me. Seeking God. The main requirement is wholeheartedness. You got to go after him with your whole heart. Don't play games with God. He doesn't play games with us. He means business, and he wants us to mean business too. And so one of the requirements is you need a setup. You need a preparation for seeking God. And there are several things that come under that I want to share with you. First of all, time. If you're going to seek God, you need time. You can't be too busy. You have to schedule it. You have to schedule a specific time. You have to get it in routine. You have to develop a habit. And you have to resist the devil's temptation to put it off, procrastinate and put it off, or skip it for the day. You have to cherish that time that you've set apart for God as a quiet time and guard it at all costs. I started doing it for the first time in my life. I was saved as a child. But I didn't have a quiet time with the Lord until I was at least 18. And I was on my own and I was in college. That's when I started my pursuit of the Lord. But a time I found out was very, very important, that I would get in a habit, that I would have a routine. Some of you, how long have you been saved? Have you ever developed a routine of seeking the Lord in a quiet time on a daily basis? If you haven't, shame on you. Shame on you. Or if you let the least little thing cause you to skip it or just miss it that day. You never seek God unless you have a specific time that you've set, that you've gotten in a routine. Now, obviously, routines can become routines. And they can become mechanical. I understand that. But this is the very basic of seeking God. You need a special time to do that you cherish and you guard at all costs. Secondly, you'll note, you need a place. You need a place. Remember, Jesus said, when you pray, go in your closet. What did he mean by that? Get alone. Go in a place where you won't be disturbed. Go hide yourself. A closet. You hide in closets. He's saying, get alone. And get quiet. Get in a place where you be undistracted. That is so important. If you want to seek God in a quiet time on a daily basis, you got to find a place where you can hide. I began under the stairs in my dormitory when I was a student, under the stairwell where no one knew I was even there. I went in a in the eaves of a crawl space in our first house when I planted a church in Connecticut. I would crawl in the eaves there and hide from all the babies crying. Get alone with the Lord in the morning. No, I actually tried to get up before the babies cried, but you know, sometimes they were up anyway. As much as lies in you, find a place where you can be undisturbed and undistracted. Listen to me. In the day of electronic devices, you will never be alone with God if that thing is with you. Turn the thing off.
That's right.
So you miss a call. Big deal. If it's important, they'll get back with you. Turn it off. That's why, as I'm going to say in a moment, I don't think that you should use a phone or a device to read your Bible.
Amen.
Because when you're reading your Bible, you get a text and it distracts you from the scripture that you're supposed to be meditating on. Get a hard copy of God's Word, if I have to call it that. Get a real Bible in your hand for a quiet time with the Lord. And don't compromise on this. Something that you can underline, literally, and not just electronically. Something you can highlight and underline, and that you can even jot a note in the margin there. It's what God spoke to my heart about at this point. Get a Bible. I like, as the older I get, the harder it is for me to see. I like the super giant print Bibles. That's what this is. And, you know, I still have to put on my glasses at times. But something that's easy to read. This Bible has absolutely no notes in it. I don't want to know what other people say about that passage. I want God to speak to me out of it. So I read in a Bible that doesn't have any notes. So God can tell me what he wants me to hear from that passage of scripture. Have a notebook. Look, you're not serious. You're not a serious God chaser if you open the very book that he speaks to you out of and you don't care enough to record anything that he might say to you. I don't know about you. Maybe you've noticed it. But when I speak to people, if I notice that they're not paying attention to me, I walk away. I don't waste my time. It bothers me. It's my flesh, I guess, but it bothers me when I speak to people and they don't listen to me, even if it's not that important. This is important.
Amen.
If we should listen to anyone, we should listen to what the Lord says. And you should listen with an ear to record. Call it journaling, whatever you want to call it. But you should have a notebook that you record nuggets that the Holy Spirit gives to you as you read. Maybe something. I think you should put perhaps the date, the text, and then the thought that God. Here's what I do. I get these things for 99 cents at Amazing Savings.
Yeah.
I like Amazing Savings. Mm-hmm. My wife said, "Why don't you get a big notebook?" I don't like big notebooks. I like little notebooks. And I have this right at the place where, in a basket where I read my Bible every morning with a pen. And I like writing down what God shows me. And I like little notebooks. And I have a whole bunch of them. And they're accumulating. I don't know what's ever going to happen to them. But sometimes I go back through them and I review something that the Lord gave me and it helps me. Sometimes I share those thoughts in a message. Somehow I incorporate them into a message. So have a notebook. You know, when farmers grow crops and they harvest those crops, they come through the field, let's say, and they cut down the hay. They don't just let it lay in the field. They come back and pick it up and make it into bales and bundles, and they store it in their barn. And they feed their animals on it. Well, that's what you're doing with a notebook. You're putting it in the barn so you can go back and even get some nourishment later from it, chew on it, further digest it. And then another setup preparation requirement for seeking God is I say a list, and by that I mean a record of requests, prayer requests that you have for the church, for friends, for the lost, for your own self, but some type of a simple prayer list. It doesn't have to be detailed. It doesn't have to be long. You might even want to take that list and divide it up on Mondays. M, I'm going to pray for missionaries. Okay? On Tuesdays, T, I'm going to pray prayers of thanksgiving, and so forth. You can do it any way you want, but get a prayer list. So that's the setup, preparation requirement. The second part of requirement is lookup or expectation. Scripture says that without faith, which is really a part of expectation, you're expecting God to do something, to speak to you if we're talking about seeking him, or to show his presence to you if we're talking about pursuing God, chasing him. Look up to him, not only set up, but look up with expectation to God. He, without faith, without expectation, you can't please him. But if you expect, if you have faith that he's going to show up, he's going to show you his presence, he's going to speak to your heart, you're going to be rewarded. He's a rewarder of them that what? Not just seek him, but diligently seek him. Seek him diligently. You don't quit. You don't get discouraged. Even when things get stale and cold, you diligently seek him because you want his presence to warm and to rekindle your heart. So look up with expectation. And that requires what I call an attitude tweak. Tweaking your attitude. And by that, I'm talking about a couple of things. I'm talking about a inward tweaking. I'm talking about being right with God. An inward attitude tweaking. Being right with God. Being sure that there's nothing that is between you and the Lord. It's very uncomfortable as a husband or as a wife to know that something's just off, something's not right between you and your spouse. I don't like living like that. You know, if I know that I have hurt my wife's feelings, or if I have done something that displeases her, I usually know it because for some reason she doesn't talk to me. That happened to you? Well, when that dawns on me, when I realize that, I don't like that. I don't want to live in a house like that. I don't want the silent treatment. Do you? Well, so guess what? Then I have a decision to make. Am I going to humble myself? Am I going to deal with this and say what's wrong with me? Or am I going to go and point the finger, and then that's just going to further alienate us, right? So I want to be right with my spouse, but if I'm pursuing God, I want to be right with him. And if you're not right with him, you know it. It's not something that you're ignorant of. The Holy Spirit is, he's personal enough, and he is kind enough to let us know when we don't please him. And so the first thing you want to do is tweak your attitude, make sure you're right with God. And then if you're right with God, be surrendered to obey the will of God. Be surrendered to him. That's the inward attitude tweak. But then there's also what I would call actions that need to be taken. And I put five of them up. And this is getting toward the end of what I wanted to share here today. Once the attitude has been tweaked, the inward part of us, then there's outward actions that need to be taken. And the first one is to wait. You're seeking God, all right? So you got to wait on him. He doesn't show up when you think he should. God doesn't show up on your time schedule. God shows up when he's ready. You can't seek God if you're in a rush. You have to learn to wait on Him, unhurried. You have to be still and know that He is God. Amen. You have to be still and silent if you're going to realize God's presence in your life. There's a time just to shut up before Him. Amen. And wait for Him to speak to your heart. To be silent, to wait before the Lord. And that's one of the most difficult things for me. I always want to go, 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 do, 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 right? Wait. Wait on the Lord. Another requirement as far as actions taken is, of course, read. And by that I mean reading the scripture mainly, but I like books that are going to touch my inner life. They're going to touch my heart. And so I like Christian books that God speaks to me out of, but mainly the Word of God. I'm reading God's Word systematically. I'm reading God's Word sequentially in an order. In which it could be perhaps a chronological order. You know, the Bible books aren't arranged in chronological order, but I like sometimes to read the Bible in chronological order instead of the way that they're arranged in our table of contents or in the order of the Bible. But systematically and sequentially read the scriptures. You know, people have a hard time being consistent in reading their Bibles. A lot of excuses. But I'm telling you, reading your Bible is easier than praying. It is. But often we can't even be consistent reading our Bibles. I mean, come on, what's wrong with us? This is God's main way of communicating with us, of connecting with us, is through the Word of God. And we have to be consistent and systematic and sequential. I want you to have a total understanding of the Bible. I don't want you to have just a little view of one doctrine or one book. I want you to have a big picture of the Scripture. To do that, you have to read in different sections of the Bible on a consistent basis, on a systematic, sequential basis. I have a Bible reading plan, and I don't always do all of it, but I have a Bible reading plan that puts me in every division of the Scripture on a daily basis. And that way, it's amazing how it all fits together on a given day when you're reading, how you see the big picture that God has given us in the Scripture. Don't read the Bible and come short of understanding the Bible. Don't read the Bible and not connect with God in reading the book that He speaks to you from. So it's not just reading. It's getting connection with God through your reading. It's understanding God's program, the big picture, you know? Stop listening to everyone else and what their thoughts are about the Bible. That's confusing you. And you're getting conflicting messages and you don't know how the Bible fits together. Find out for yourself. Stop being lazy and listening to everyone else and what they have to say about the Bible. Why don't you become a student? Why don't you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? You know why you don't rightly divide the word of truth? Because you don't study it. You're not diligent in the study of God's word. You're not serious about seeking God in the book that is all about Him, that He reveals Himself through. Read it, meditate on it. Meditate. Are there promises for me to claim in this passage? Are there lessons for me to learn? Are there blessings for me here? Are there commands that I'm supposed to obey in this passage? Are there sins that I need to confess based upon this? The Holy Spirit has a message for your soul, and you'll miss it if you don't meditate. You know what meditate is? It's chewing the spiritual cud. What it is. It's talking to yourself. It's murmuring to yourself about what God says. The word meditate can best be illustrated in a cow chewing its cud and putting food in its mouth, down its throat, into the first compartment of its belly, and then from that into the second compartment of the belly, into the third compartment of the belly, into the fourth compartment of the belly. That's a good picture of meditation. In other words, when a cow eats and chews its cud, it is getting all the nutrition out of that grass or the grain, whatever it is that it's eating, that is possible. It's going through this long digestive process. And that's what meditation is. It's a spiritual digestion of God's word, which is food. Remember, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. As mature, strong meat you should desire. Hebrews 5, I think it's verse 11. But anyway, you get the point. Another part of seeking God and actions that need to be taken is you need to pray. And you know what prayer is? It's simply turning your meditation to prayer. Letting God's word search your heart and then incorporating that in prayer to him. For example, this morning, one of my passages I read happened to be John 16. The last verse of John 16, Jesus says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Take heart, for I have overcome the world." And the Lord spoke that to my heart, and so I turned that verse into a prayer. "Lord, so thankful that you have overcome the world. I'm fighting from victory. I'm not fighting for victory. I'm fighting from victory. You've already won the battle. You've overcome the world. Now, Lord, I'm going to take heart and not allow this world and the tribulation, the sorrow, the trial, everything that is a part of my life in this world overcome me. But rather, I'm going to claim your victory over it all because you went through it and you won." Amen. So, you know, I'm praying that back to the Lord. That's what prayer is. It's turning your meditation into prayer. And prayer is really two things. Number one, prayer is a way for you to get to know God. It's talking. You know, when we talk to each other, when we communicate with each other, we get to know one another. Those that communicate the least know each other the least. You communicate with God, you're going to know God better. You're going to get intimate with God. That's what prayer is. But also, prayer is not only intimacy, it's dependency. It shows you that I can't trust myself. I can't do it myself. Why do I pray? So that I can become intimate with God and so that I can depend upon God. If I don't pray, that means I don't need God, right? If I don't pray, that I'm not depending upon him. When I pray, I'm saying, "God, I need you." So actions taken, prayer. And then the last one is share. And that is that you determine to humbly share what God has given you in your time, your quiet time with him, with at least one other person that day. Could be a lost person, could be a saved person. But you share every day something that God's shared with you. You might do it in your family devotions time. And it may not be the whole time, but it might be just a passing thought that you say that connects with what your family devotion was about, right? But you share it with someone. Otherwise, you become stagnant. If you take in, take in, take in, and never give out, it's poisoning. It has a poisoning effect, it has a stagnating effect in your Christian life. So we take in so much, don't we? We absorb so much. And if we don't do anything with it, what good is it?
That's right.
It just makes us sick. It just poisons our system. So I'm talking about pursuing God, being a God chaser, and I said daily seeking, which is a quiet time, but it also includes what I call daily walking. That is, all the time, Because God's great desire is for our fellowship. You know, I began to realize that when you open the book of Genesis, the first thing that you see God doing with mankind is walking with him in the garden. What does that say to me? That says that God wants fellowship with human beings. And then the Bible begins with the call of Abraham as well. We hear that, Enoch walked with God? Noah walked with God? Enoch walked? I mean, there's a list of them there in Genesis. Why? Because God wants that. God wants fellowship with people. And he wants it to be a whole day, all the time thing, and not just a quiet time. That's why I didn't call it daily devotions, but I called it daily devotion. Not just one time, but all the time. He wants us not only to, he wants us to seek him early in the morning. And by the way, quiet time, for most people, that's the first thing in the morning. If your work schedule is different, I understand that, but you still better have a time that you schedule and it becomes a routine and a habit in your life. He wants us, the Bible begins with the call of Abraham. And you know what God calls Abraham? The friend of God. The friend of God. What makes people friends? Have you thought about that? What is it that makes people friends? Two things about God and Abraham, who was God's friend. Number one, Abraham walked with God, and the other verb is that God spoke. You'll find those two things about Abraham and his friendship with God. He walked with God, and God said, and God said, and God said. In other words, friendship is walking and speaking together. Friends walk and talk together. And the more that they walk and talk together, the more they have in common. Those people that are your friends are people that you like. Often we say, oh, I love God. Can I ask you an honest question? Do you like God? You like being with him? You honestly like God? You don't really love God if you don't like his company. If you don't seek him and you don't fellowship with him, he wants us to be walking with him all day long. He wants to be in constant contact with us. That's his desire. And the accurate measure of a believer's life is a daily quiet time that sets the tone for the day, because if you're not seeking God in the quiet time, you'll never be able to walk with him all the time. See that piano there? It's probably time now, but that piano needs to be tuned every once in a while. When you bang on the keys of a piano, it stretches and loosens the piano strings and where they're tied to. And that tends to make it go out of tune over a period of time. But also, the temperature of the room, heat and cold, causes the wood that those strings are attached to expand and contract. And that also affects the tune of the piano. That piano needs a regular tuning. Well, guess what? You are an intricate instrument that God has designed. And changing circumstances and daily life will drain you. And you need the spiritual tuning that can only happen in God's presence. Be a God chaser. Seek him in a daily quiet time, and in walking with him all the time.